Welcome to the Voice of the Lord Radio Church Hour with Pastor Billy R. Douglas. Stay tuned for music, encouragement, and the preaching of the Word of God. It is our prayer that the next hour will bless and strengthen you as you listen to the songs of Zion and the anointed preaching of God's holy word. Go with us now to the sanctuary of Voice of the Lord Tabernacle in Livermore, Kentucky for today's service.
As the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart there's rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I know that I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new, and I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Oh, let's love him this morning. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, there's shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Aren't you glad for that this morning? I don't remember if I shared this here, if I shared it on our daily devotional over the computer. But not long ago, I talked to an elderly gentleman in the post office. And when he walked into the post office, he walked in like this. And we stopped and I asked him how he was doing. And he said, pretty fair. Better than I deserve, he said. He said, I'm blessed. And we got to talking about that, and the Spirit of the Lord came in the post office over there. He said back whenever he was a young man in school, there was a sign they had hanging there in the classroom. He said it stuck with him his entire life. He said it was simple, and it said, I complained that I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Hallelujah. Oh, do us all good this morning. If we were just bubbling up and overflowing with gratitude, amen, instead of bad attitude, gratitude, amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that one more time. Hallelujah. Thank him this morning for his blessings and his mercy and his grace and his love and his long suffering. The psalmist David said his mercy endureth forever. Oh, and if anybody knew about the mercy of God, it was little David. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help me sing this morning. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart there is rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new, and I don't have much money, but Jesus, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, give me lots of music. Well, I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Well, my soul gets so happy, I shout and I sing both night and day. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. I've had ups and downs, sorrows and frowns that passed my way. I paid no attention, dropped the contention, had no time to stay. Problems only weigh you down and cause sunny skies to turn to gray. Thank God I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day.
I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day.
Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. See, my soul gets so happy, I shout and I sing both night and day. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. God was good enough to save me and wash my old sins away. Now he leads me and guides me, protects me and hides me, and keeps me each day. You see, I know that he loves me, for he entered into my heart to stay. And I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Oh, hallelujah. Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. And my soul gets so happy, I shout and I sing both night and day. I'm on my way to heaven, the journey gets sweeter every day. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day.
Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way.
You see, my soul is so happy, I shout and I sing both night and day. And I'm on my way to heaven, journey gets sweeter every day.
On my way to heaven,
going up to heaven, journey gets sweeter every day. Sing it again, Brother Tyler. How great is our God. The prophet of old said that he saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train, it filled the temple. His train will never fill the temple unless he is high and lifted up. Hallelujah. How great is our God.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty.
see, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. And he wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, see how great is our God. Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands, the beginning and the end, the beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. And how great our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, see how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And oh, see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And oh, see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great.
Oh, how great is our God. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Hallelujah. He is God. Besides him, there is no other. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to lift him up, church. Hallelujah. My, nobody else worthy of being lifted up and praised and worshiped this morning. Hallelujah. My, we don't come together and gather together to exalt ourselves, to exalt man. If that's our motive, if that's our goal, we'd be better off if we stayed the house in the bed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we come together in one mind and one accord to lift up the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I Am, Jehovah God. Hallelujah. The first and the last. He is God. Besides him, there is no other. Hallelujah. Last week, we started this sermon in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, how that John there on the Isle of Patmos, when he heard a voice behind him, turned to look and see where the voice was coming from. And the Bible says that he saw that great I Am. in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Amen. Hallelujah. That represented the churches. But then we see, and we talked about how that John's attention was drawn away from the churches. Amen. To that one. Hallelujah. That crucified one. His Redeemer, the lover of his soul. Amen. God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The Lion out of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Amen. And we see how he begins to give a detailed description of what Jesus Christ looked like and appeared to him that day on the Isle of Patmos when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. Caused him to forget all about what the churches was, what were the candlesticks and what the church, what that represented. Amen. Caused it, if we get our mind on Jesus enough, if we get our eyes on Jesus enough, it'll cause us to get our eyes off of the things that the church is doing. Amen. The things that people are doing, the faults that people have, the faults that churches have, and get our eyes and our attention and our spotlight and our focus on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Everything else will fade into the shadows. Amen. And that's what happened to John on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. We see him here. We see Jesus Christ was the center of attention. Amen. And that's where he needs to be today in your life. Amen. He doesn't need to be some, if I have time, I'll get around to him. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. Amen. He doesn't want to just be in your circle. He wants your life to rotate around him. Amen. He wants to be the center of your existence. He doesn't want to be a relationship with him to be something where you can, you know, maybe if you've got time on Sunday morning, you might spend some time in his presence. No, he wants a day-to-day walk with you. Amen. He wants fellowship daily. He doesn't want to be just a part of your life, or if you can get around to him, amen, giving him some of your time. And we talked about how that it was never intended for the church to be the center of attention. It was never intended for man to be the center of attention. It was never intended for self to be the center of attention, but apparently that's what the church thinks today, because that is where the spotlight is at. It's on self. Amen. This past week I heard an interview. It was an old interview, I think, not too old. But they were interviewing a couple of big name mega preachers that had got together, and the one was going to let this other big preacher preach at his church. And it was an unusual thing, because most mega church pastors never let any one of the other mega church pastors come into their fold and to preach. And they was making this big deal and this big thing about it. And they interviewed both these men, and they talked and they went on and they laughed and everything. And I'm not sure, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You know our email address. You can call me if I'm wrong. But I don't think I ever heard either one of them mention Jesus. I don't think I ever remember. I don't remember the whole interview. I don't remember them mentioning the name of Jesus. It was all about, well, I love him and I love him and what he's doing and what we're doing, and we can do this together and we can have all this. They might have said God. But not one time did I hear them mention the name of Jesus. Listen, I'm pretty sure that I am incapable of being on worldwide television in an interview, and they're talking to me about my ministry. I'm pretty sure I'm incapable of not mentioning Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm pretty sure that Jesus is going to come up in the conversation. Amen. Hallelujah. If you stay around me very long, you don't have to be ABC, NBC, or CBS. Jesus is going to come up in the conversation. Because he's not just part of my life. In him I live and have my being. And my breath comes from him. Amen. The center of attention must be Jesus Christ. Amen. We even talked about how that the Holy Spirit is not supposed to be the center of attention. Yet much of the charismatic or Pentecostal movement makes it that way. But Jesus himself said that the Holy Spirit would come and he would testify of him. He would testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always lifts up Jesus. Always points you toward Jesus. The center of attention was never supposed to be the gifts of the Spirit. Yet we have entire movements that go over into fanaticism because they get caught up in prophecies and word of knowledge and word of wisdom and all of these things. But the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit were never supposed to be the center of attention. Yet churches by the thousands have done exactly that. It's all about prophecy. It's all about healing. It's all about manifestations. It's all about the preacher. We've got a whole group of people. It's all about the angels. Amen. Angels were never supposed to be worshipped. Never supposed to be the center of attention. They are messengers from God. And God's message has not changed. Paul himself, and I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm fixing to read this scripture. But Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven comes and preaches to you any other gospel, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. Well, an angel appeared to me and he told me something, but it's not like it is in God's word. Then it wasn't an angel of light. It wasn't God's angel. It might have been one of them fallen angels. Amen. That appeared to you and told you something that it goes contrary to God's word. Amen. And we talked about John the Baptist, how he stood on the sandy shores of the banks of the Jordan and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want us this morning to look in Revelation, the 5th chapter, beginning in the 1st verse. Still in Revelation, Revelation 5 and 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. Revelation 5 and 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now you hear how the word of God puts this. I saw a strong angel. Yet this strong angel was not able, was not worthy to open this book. Because the attention here of the writer to the reader is not to be drawn to the angel, but to the one who was worthy to open the book. It says, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look. Not only could they not open the book, they wasn't even worthy to look in the book. No angel, no man in heaven or in earth. This includes all of the old prophets. Amen. It says no man in heaven, no man in the earth. Elijah, as great a prophet as he was, and the great miracles that God performed through him, was not worthy to open this book. Moses, as great of a leader as he was not worthy to open this book. The attention was not to be drawn to the prophets of old. The attention was not to be drawn to man, nor to angels. Listen to what it says. Verse 4. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. So it may have seemed hopeless. The book needs to be open. Amen. The angels cannot do it. Right. Man cannot do it. And John said, I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the book. Amen. Verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now listen. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Oh, glory to God. Stood a lamb. The old apostle, the old disciple, the revelator, weeping because no one was worthy. And the voice said, weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Behold, the root of David hath prevailed. He is victorious. Where was that victory won? on the cross of Calvary when he put the enemy to an open shame. Now he stands there, still the Lamb, but victorious and full of might and power. And I beheld, and lo, see, while I was reading this and I was studying on this, my mind kind of went back and it sort of got a mental picture of how it might have been whenever Adam and Eve fell in the garden, when God had told them, don't eat of the fruit of that tree. And they ate of the fruit and they fell, and all of heaven is watching on, and they see that man has fallen. No doubt then there was not an angel that was worthy. There was not a man to be found worthy. And no doubt maybe somewhere in the portals of glory, the angels wept and said, oh, it's over now. There's no hope for mankind. Oh, but behold, there was a Lamb. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. There was a Lamb that was worthy. The God of all the ages that would put on the robe of a mortal man and walk down through the ages of time till he came forth in that night in Bethlehem and 33 years later would die on the rugged cross and say, it is finished. Behold, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the beast and of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Amen. Having seven horns and seven eyes, representing complete and total power, complete and total knowledge. The seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And verse 7 says, and he came and looked and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Again, we see here in chapter 5 of Revelation, who's the center of attention? The Lamb. The Lamb. Not the strong and mighty angel that it made mention of in passing. Not the fact that man in his pitiful poor state, even in his redemptive state. Listen to me. We got these nut jobs, and I hope it don't offend you if I call your favorite preacher that today. They claim that you're a God, and I'm a God, and we're all little gods. Even, you see, at this time, when it says that there is no man in heaven, that's talking about those who have been redeemed, who are in heaven with the Lord. Amen. That are in that perfect state up there, and they're still not worthy. They're still not worthy. I don't care how good you think you are in this life, you ain't worthy. The Lamb is worthy. Hallelujah. When we point to anything or anyone besides the Lamb, it's no more than idol worship. Because we are setting that thing or that person in the place or authority, the center of attention where the Lamb's supposed to be. Angels. Brother Tyler, we're talking about angels like Michael, the archangel. Gabriel, the archangel. We're talking about like angels that have been dispersed to defeat darkness and kingdoms. None of them worthy. None of them worthy. But the Lamb. The Lamb was worthy because he calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He is victorious. Come on. Glory to God. Right. He made a show of the enemy openly. Amen. The Lamb is worthy. Not angels, not man, not self. The Lamb is the center of attention. Amen. And this must be at the very center of our relationship with Jesus. Amen. There can be no relationship with the Lord unless you have this right. Because you think, well, I'm in good communion with God. I'm in good standing with God because I worked at the soup kitchen every Saturday this month. That don't cut it. Amen. That don't boil the beans. Amen. I'm in good standing with God because I did 15 Hail Marys and I counted my prayer beads and I did my penance and I did my community service. You might be in good standing with the Catholic Church, but that'll wind you up in hell if that's what you're depending on today. Exactly. Your works should never be the center of attention. Jesus Christ and his finished work must always be our core foundation. Amen. So when John on the sandy banks of Jordan looked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible calls him a voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's what the church should be today. We should be as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Woe is us today if our message is behold man, behold self, behold religion, behold works. Our message must be behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Listen to me. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was saying, "Don't look at me, look to him." John the Baptist was a great man, but he was not worthy of the spotlight. Amen. Luke 3 and 15, listen to this. Speaking of John the Baptist, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John," that means that they were really looking at him as, "Boy, he's really something. John the Baptist, oh, he's really great. He's really something, Brother Dave." Amen. It says they mused in their hearts of John. And their question was this, whether he were the Christ or not. That's how much they thought of him, Brother Sleece. They thought, "Is he the Messiah? Oh, I feel the Spirit around him." Amen. Is he the Messiah? Is he the one? But John makes it plain. Luke 3 and 16. "John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh." Glory to God, glory to God. Don't get your eyes on the pastor, because one mightier than he is worthy of the spotlight today. One mightier than the angels is worthy of the spotlight today. Listen to what he said. "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose." As great as John the Baptist was, John said, "Listen, folks, boy, we got some high and mighty preachers that could take a lesson from this today." Amen. Don't look at me. Don't put the spotlight on me. It's not about me. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. And I am not worthy to untie his shoes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see that John the Baptist pointed not to himself, but to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, all throughout his ministry, went out of his way to make Jesus Christ the center of attention. Prove that to me, preacher. I think I will. I read some comments by a really, really stupid man this week. I've heard a lot of things about the Apostle Paul. I know some people, because he said the law could not save you, a lot of people disregard his writings. But this man said that the Apostle Paul did not teach that Jesus was crucified. Boy, his Bible must have a whole bunch out of it. You cannot read the teachings of the Apostle Paul and not hear about the cross of Christ. Amen. Listen to what Paul said. I tried to quote this to you a while ago. 1 Corinthians 9 and 16. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I'm telling you today, the church has pronounced a woe upon herself for not preaching the gospel, Brother Dave. For not making Jesus Christ the center of attention. They have set him outside of their doings and their going-ons and their activities. Amen. Their philosophy, because the cross of Christ doesn't fit into that. Their man-made doctrines, because the cross of Christ doesn't fit into that. heard someone say once, well, yes, I got saved there at the cross, but I've moved on from the cross. Well, I got one warning for you. If you've moved on from the cross, you better turn around and get back. Amen? You better come back to the cross, because not only is our salvation found there, but our justification and our sanctification can only be made possible through faith in the finished work of the cross. The Apostle Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1 and 17 and 18. Listen what Paul said. And I told you, he went out of his way to make sure that his message was clear. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words, not with wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul said, I didn't come to you baptizing because I didn't want to, not that baptism was not a good thing to do. But the Apostle Paul didn't want to do anything that would take the attention or the spotlight or the importance off of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. We got people today that are so caught up in baptism. If you ain't baptized my way, if you ain't baptized their way, if you ain't baptized at all. Well, the Apostle Paul was a pretty poor preacher. Amen? If it was all about baptism. Well, he said, because he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Amen? Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Amen? Not with wisdom of words. See, back then, during this time when Paul wrote this, there was a big thing about a big thing of philosophy going on in the church. And the Pharisees were good at this. They could spew off long, pretty speeches that was intended to take the spotlight off of God and put it right here. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, I ain't going to do that. Amen. I'm not going to draw the attention to baptism. I'm not going to draw the attention to myself or my wisdom. Now, Paul was a smart man. Don't get me wrong. Amen. He could have wooed some of them with some words he could come out with. He was an educated man. But instead of preaching it over their head, instead of straying from the simplicity that is found in Christ, instead of making something else in the spotlight, in the center of attention, he said this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Brother Swigert puts it like this: with purpose and design, Paul did not resort to the knowledge or philosophy of the world regarding the preaching of the gospel, because he did not want to take the attention away from the finished work of the cross. Paul said, when I came to you, declaring unto you the testimony of God, then he tells us what the testimony of God is: Christ and Him crucified. Jesus looked at the Pharisees one day and said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Then he didn't stop there, though. He said, the scriptures testify of me. The testimony of this book is the cross of Christ. From Genesis, when God slew the animals and put the animal skins on Adam and Eve, and all the way to the book of Revelation, and we haven't touched all the scriptures in Revelation that refer to him as the Lamb. All the way to eternity in the future, the spotlight is still on the Lamb. Amen. Moses, how'd you get there? The blood of the Lamb. John, how'd you get there? The blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The spotlight, even in the Old Testament. Even in the Old Testament, whenever they brought the blood in and they placed it in the different places, the spotlight at that time was not on that little lamb that you could touch. Amen? Because that was only a substitute. Amen? The only thing that did was point toward what would happen on Golgotha's hill just outside of Jerusalem. Amen. The spotlight's always been on the lamb. And that's where it needs to be today. Amen. I'm trying to close. We see in these passages and throughout all of Paul's writings that he went out of his way to make sure that the focus stayed on Christ and Him crucified. That Jesus was at the center of attention. Not on baptism. Not on the gifts of the Spirit. Not on himself. Always on Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Amen. Oh, listen to what he said. I'm closing. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I don't know how much that there will help, but maybe it'll stir there a little bit. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Landlord's supposed to be working on getting us some air in here. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, third verse. Paul said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In the power of God. Amen? And what is the power of God? He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen? In other words, your faith, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men. Meaning any other way that is offered to you other than Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That your faith should stand in the power of God. Amen. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yes. Amen. This thing saved us. This thing keeps us. Amen. Faith in the finished work of the cross of Christ. Amen. So if you've moved on from the cross, you better move on back. You better turn around and come on back. Amen. The entire focus of this book is on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Right. Hebrews 12 and 2, the Apostle Paul, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The spotlight today belongs on Him and Him alone. Amen. And He ain't going to... Listen to me. I promise I'm closing. We'll have to continue next week, but I am closing today. He's not going to share the spotlight with you. Or your movie star pastor. If you insist on having the spotlight, He'll let you have it. And He will leave. He will withdraw His Spirit from that place. Amen? If you insist on having the spotlight, Brother Tyler, He'll let you have it. Amen? It's supposed to be all about Jesus, Brother Dave. But if you want to make it all about something else, He'll let you. But you will pay a dire price. Amen. If your relationship with God is built on anything other than Christ and Him crucified, the Apostle Paul said, no other foundation can man lay. Amen. But you can do that if you want. But like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, when the storm is over, your house will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Because you have built your relationship on a faulty foundation. You cannot have a relationship with God without having faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Behold the Lamb. Let's make sure our spotlight, let's make sure the attention stays on Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. Not the angels, Not any man that has ever lived or ever will live. He alone is worthy, for he hath conquered. He hath triumphed over the enemy. He has laid waste Satan's empire when he said it is finished. Hallelujah. And accomplished that which the Father had sent him to do. Hallelujah. Someone else this morning. Have something before we go.
I've watched you for so long on Sunday morning, with the fire of a warrior in your eyes, Bible held high in your hand, you take that pulpit stand. No one knew that you'd been praying most of the night. The countless times you've heard the trials of others, no one knew the battle raging in your life. There's no time for your needs when you've got a hurting sheep. There'll be time for yours when they are resting quiet. Shepherd, could I hold your hands up for a little while? This rare moment you are weak, would you let this little sheep hold your hands up high? Shepherd, could I hold your hands up for a little while? Just a little while, you get through this fight. On the mountaintop, the man of God, Moses, with his hands held high, the battle raged below. When the evening came, his strength was gone from a worthy. It's so good to have a brother to lean on. Shepherd, could I hold your hands up for a little while? This rare moment you are weak, would you let this little sheep hold your hands up high? Shepherd, could I hold your hands up for a little while? Just a little while, you get through this fight. Just a little while, you get through this fight. If I told you that I see something that nobody else could see, and if I told you that the angels had been talking to me, well, would you merely think me foolish? All my senses I had lost. No, I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Well, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. And he's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. And I'm keeping company with the Heavenly Host. I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Now if you tried to tell me something and I just misunderstood, if I'm too heavenly minded to be any earthly good, well, if you're scared of my religion, you better not get close, 'cause I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and he's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. And I'm keeping company with a heavenly host, 'cause I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Now if you think I'm out of order, 'cause I can't stay in my seat, and if you think that it's blasphemy because there's dancing in my feet, well, I can hardly hear you talking. See, I'm not listening very well, because I'm plugged into the power and I'm about to have a spell. Well, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and he's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. And I'm keeping company with a heavenly host, 'cause I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and he's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. And I'm keeping company with the heavenly host, 'cause I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Because I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost.
This is Pastor Billy R. Douglas. I want to ask you the most important question that you will ever answer in this life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is your faith in Him today and His finished work? Jesus said in John the 14th chapter and the 6th verse, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God's only begotten Son died on the cross so that you could be saved. Call on the name of Jesus today. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and your life. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ today. Call upon His name. Don't put it off. Do it today. For none of us are promised tomorrow.
This has been the Voice of the Lord Radio Church Hour, brought to you from the sanctuary of Voice of the Lord Tabernacle, Livermore, Kentucky. For more information, call 270-313-8753 or write to Voice of the Lord Tabernacle, P.O. Box 541. Livermore, Kentucky, 42352, or visit our website, voiceofthelordministries.com. Write us today with your praise reports, prayer requests, or to order a free copy of today's sermon, or make a donation to Voice of the Lord Ministries. We would also like to send you our free monthly newsletter. And if you're ever in the Livermore area, come be in service with us at 216 Hill Street. Thanks for listening to Voice of the Lord Radio Church Hour. Until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you, is our prayer.